Thank you, David, and Ms. Pat, and Ms. Pam, and Ms. Sylvia. I tell you, we are so blessed, and the Lord has given you talents. And Brother Ken, the words, the songs that you pick out, and the beautiful instruments, I tell you, we just reflect on Christ, and it's like the worship of God just lifts us to the heavenlies as we ponder on Him and His attributes and that amazing grace. And we give Him glory, give Him praise. I tell you, I want to say that I love you, and I just thank you for your commitment to Christ and to your church. Facebook Live audience, I thank you that you tune in each week. God has been good. He's been gracious. We do go through our occasional bouts of sickness. I've got one under the weather this morning, and we're all a little bit sensitive about how to act, what to do, when to stay home, when to go. It's just been a kind of an interesting time. But thank you for looking to the Lord, and thank you for being patient and trusting Him during this time. I thank you for your commitment to Christ and your giving. We haven't said a whole lot about giving, and this is, I think, the first year in many years we finished well above budget. You're really close to meeting the Lottie Moon goal, and so we're just thankful for your heart for missions. We're thankful for your commitment to Christ, and I've been studying this week through the book of 2 Corinthians, and I'm excited about embarking on this journey by God's Spirit leading me, and I'm preaching God's Word. I pray that God would open our eyes to see more clearly through as we look at a study through the book of 2 Corinthians. I want to encourage you throughout this new year to go ahead and start reading, start looking closely at 2 Corinthians. Look at the background, the history, and just the things that are going on, the climate of the times there in Corinth, some of the struggles, Timothy and Titus, who both make visits there, the different letters, that two of which we have, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, thinking that there was probably four letters, maybe even more, written to that church there in Corinth. Go back to Acts 18 and even 19 and look at some of the cross references. And begin with me, and let's study together. It's exciting. You know, there's different attitudes about the pastor's ability to preach at different sermon series, and some like topical. Some even said to me, "You like that expository preaching, don't you, Brother Stephen?" And I said, "Well, I like to really invest and look closely at God's Word, and I like to know where I'm going." Anybody else like to know where you're going? I hope so. It helps me. It helps me as I study. You know, sometimes when you pick up the Bible for a week, even 2 weeks out to study, and you know, it takes a lot of study and prep just to understand the context, and then to take the scriptures and preach it and apply it and illustrate it. It's easier, and it seems more helpful to let God's Word speak rather than a person just saying, "I've got a message, and we're going to try to find a few scriptures to go along with it." There's a meaning in 2 Corinthians, and that's what I want to do as a preacher. I want to study 2 Corinthians, and I want to draw out the text and let God's Spirit speak through the Scriptures. Matter of fact, God knows what you're going through better than I do. So it doesn't do me any good necessarily to say, "Well, I think our church is dealing with it. Let's go with the passage here." Now, sometimes that is very good, and we need to do that. But God knows right where you are. He knows right where I am, and He's going to teach us through the Scriptures when we need to hear these messages. So study with me in 2 Corinthians. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Stand with me, if you would, when you find your place. I'm always tempted when I start a new series to kind of do a survey. I'm going to abstain from that this morning, but I do want to give a few details that will help us in our study. And along the way, I also want to bring out some things that will help us with the context and understanding the Scriptures. Let's read together. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 11. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who were in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, and if we are comforted, it is for your comfort with which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. May God richly bless the reading and preaching of His Word. You may be seated. You know, I did try to reflect throughout this last week or two on where we've been, what we've experienced last year. I can't help but to think about somewhat of a theme of last year as I stood up that first New Year's message and said, may you, God, give us 2020 vision for the year 2020. God, would you help us to see clearly? See who we are, see who you are, see where we've been, see where we need to go. Give us clear direction. And I was also thinking about a corporate body of believers, but I was also thinking, I think you would go with me as we thought about our theme, that we're thinking about us as individuals. God, help us to see clearly. Of course, me being the pastor, God, help our church to see clearly. Give us eyes. We pray for the mind of Christ. I was also praying for the eyes that see Christ in all of His glory. Eyes that see and are led by the Spirit, that walk as Jesus would have us walk in a way that would be becoming of the glory living in and through us. And we prayed for that. We prayed, God, give us clear vision. And about springtime, things started happening that we had never experienced before. Things started happening around us that rocked our worlds. I'm even 43 years old, and I've never seen anything like this. Not to mention those younger, and there's some of you that are older than me in this congregation this morning. There's some that are younger. I'd never seen anything like this, and most of you had never seen anything like this. To think we would be sitting here at the end of the year, a church half full or half empty, however you want to look at it, with masks on our faces, We wouldn't have understood that. But yet we prayed for God to help us to see and give us what we need and give us spiritual eyes and direct our paths. And here at the beginning of this new year, thinking about what we prayed for last year, we have to meditate and think and ponder what's happened this past year. What's God done? What have we faced? How has God worked? What has He taught us? What do we see more clearly? What do we carry into this new year? What is our goal and aim for 2021? We're going to talk about these things. But it's in this context that we come to this book of the Bible, and we ask God to open our hearts and minds to see clearly. I want to share a few things about this. And as we go in, I'm going to lead you to this God of all comfort. I want us to see this morning, I'll go ahead and give you what I want us to see this morning. What is our goal and aim for this new year? I've been praying, God, who are we? Where have we been? What are we doing? Where are we going? And Paul writing this letter, this second letter, the fourth letter, if you will, to this church in Corinth that has struggled with many different things. They call them babes in the faith. They've struggled with everything from different factions to being a little bit embarrassed of Paul, being there's gross immorality in the church. There are people that are still frequenting pagan temples. They are still doing things they shouldn't do. They're not being, there's spiritual problems. There's theological problems. And Paul writes this last letter, and he's still dealing with a lot of the same issues, but you know where he starts? Praise be to this Father and God of the Lord Jesus Christ, this God of all comfort, this Father of mercies. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him glory. How fitting that we, beginning of this new year, would start by, as we pray and for God to lead us and guide us, let's just reflect on who God is. Let's, like the psalmist, just call on Him as our ever-present help in times of trouble. Let's look at Him and give Him glory. Let's think about His attributes. Let's look at His marvelous mercy. Let's think about His amazing strength and comfort in our times of need. That's what's happening here. Paul starts off with a salutation. It's very common. We see it in Ephesians. We see it in Galatians. He just starts off by saying this, talking about an apostle. He says, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He starts off saying, God's called me. It's His purpose. It's His will. I'm His messenger. I'm His spokesperson. That's who I am. And also in Timothy, my brother here, he's with me. To this church, as he's writing this letter, this church of God that's in Corinth. Paul spent 18 months in Corinth. Second longest place he spent anywhere besides Ephesus, where he spent 3 years. He wrote several letters. Two of them were divinely inspired. One or two were lost. One of them was called a severe letter. You know, what happens is Paul is written 1 Corinthians, and he promised to send Timothy back here. Well, as Timothy goes there, he sees the problems there. And Timothy would go to address a lot of these problems of factionalism, of immorality, this participation in pagan religious feasts, questions related to theology. Timothy went to address these issues. But Timothy then returned with the news that the situation had worsened, which forced Paul to abandon his traveling plans. We read about it at the end of 1 Corinthians 16. And he makes an abrupt visit to Corinth. Well, when he goes, he was not greeted well. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 2, it talks about an altercation he had with another person. And it was he was really cut. He was abused. I mean, he was spoken poorly of. Imagine that. And what happened was, this was a painful experience of Paul. We see it right at the beginning of chapter 2. He was personally attacked by a member of the congregation. Upon returning to Ephesus, Paul wrote an emotional letter. And like I said, this was one that was lost. And it was conveyed through Titus. Titus would deliver this message. And then Titus eventually brought back news that that the Corinthians had responded to the letter. They responded favorably. Many of them repented. It says that many of them had tears in their eyes, 2 Corinthians 2:4. And they had taken disciplinary action. Paul had told them they were the church that would laugh at sin. They were the ones that said, we need to tolerate everybody and let's just love everybody and all get along. And Paul said, no, this is embarrassing. This is sad. You are a holy church set aside for Christ. And you're to be holy. And this man that has gone off in this gross sin of incest with his mother-in-law, and now he's bragging about it. You need to discipline him. And you need to put him out because you love him in hopes that he would repent. Well, that's what's happened. They've seen some breakthroughs here. And Titus had told him of some of the things that were happening. But he also shared this new threat that was going on. He said, Paul, there's a new threat. There's these flamboyant missionaries from churches they say are from Judea, and they're calling themselves super apostle. And what they're doing, they're challenging you and your legitimacy as an apostle. They are undercutting you in everything you've done. If you say you're going to come and then you wait a little longer, they're discrediting you. They're calling you a money grubber because you're talking about offering that we want to take up for the Jerusalem church that's struggling with poverty and abuse and neglect and just all types of oppression there. Paul's talking to them about this. They've made a commitment to take up this offering, and now these super apostles are coming in and they're just crushing Paul and his credibility. Now that happens in churches sometimes. It just takes a few words and you can take a man of God and you can hurt his reputation. You can crush him. You can slander his name. And next thing you know, you've got a church that's even becoming more divided. You've got, that's probably why there was a lot of factions taking place in the church. Some were Apollos, some were Paul, some were these crazy, what they're calling super apostles that were basically false prophets. Paul's going to fix the goat, and he's going to deal with this. He's going to come to them again. He actually goes and makes another visit to them at this new threat. He responded by dispatching Titus from Macedonia with the letter we now call 2 Corinthians. This was written around AD 55. And while he made preparations for his third visit to this troubled community. So it's in light of this that's going on that Paul's going to come see him, but he sends this letter to address these issues. Now you say, well, Stephen, this letter is Paul's open heart. This is almost like a journal that Paul opens up and he shares with them. It's one of the most personal letters that he writes. And he comes to them in just love, and it's like a winding river. Sometimes it's quiet and it's peaceful, and sometimes it's raging. He comes to them with directing them with these different themes. And one of just a little bit of the themes as we get ready to move into this God of all comfort and this message. Some of the themes he looks at here is he's looking at his ministry. His plans. He talks about this personal attack that was on him, but also this public attack and public that he's talking about the church and how to address sin. He's looking at his ministry, his Titus's absences, the ministry's nature. Then he moves into like this collection. We'll get in the middle of in several months, probably about the time of Lottie Moon. We'll talk about giving. That's what's neat about expository preaching. The preacher stands up and he preaches a message on divorce. You know what? People say, well, so-and-so is going through a divorce. The preacher's just preaching a message directed right at them. Somebody starts struggling with a sin here or there, and the preacher directs a message, and everybody looks over at so-and-so and says, man, he must be talking about him. And the preacher just kind of looks and picks. What's neat about the preaching through a text of Scripture is that God's going to direct us where we need to be when we need to be there. If you're struggling with a certain issue, I've always seen God's Holy Spirit lead us. He's going to direct us that morning with somewhere where you are to the Word of God. He's going to speak directly to you because it's His Spirit doing it and not some preacher trying to figure out everybody's needs and sin in their life. It's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Wonderful Counselor. This is important. So we see these different themes taking place. Some of which I've told you, he's going to give exhortations. As I talk to you about one of the last points we're going to look at in a minute, we're going to talk about why we're being comforted. We're comforted to comfort. The God of all comfort helps us to see Him clearly in His marvelous mercy and His amazing all-present, ever-present comfort and strength that He comes along beside us, and I'm going to explain this word in a minute, parakaleo, two Greek words put together to come alongside of, to call and to come alongside of. It's where we get the word, actually, if you think about paraclete, another word for the Holy Spirit, a comforter. The Spirit to come along beside us, this comforter. To guide us, to lead us. It is talking about a soothing, but it's mainly talking about a strengthening. Paul says, I'm the one, I've gone through all of these afflictions, all of these hardships, all of these difficult times of betrayal and you know, we've went through Acts and we looked at the stonings and the beatings and the shipwrecks and the friends that are leaving, the abandonment, the hunger, the loneliness, the thirst. Paul says, I've been through all of this, but this God of all comfort has come along beside me and He's helped me. He's assisted me through it all. Some of us look back at 2020. I was encouraged by Jillian's Facebook message this week, a girl that's been through probably more than any of us this year, buried a child and a father this year, and she has the wherewithal to be led by the Spirit to see God's hand at work through it all, to see that God has a purpose in our afflictions, to see that the God of all comfort comes around beside us to walk with us, to strengthen us one day at a time when we're in our time of deepest need and struggle. We've seen that this year in the midst of pandemic, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of worry, in the midst of political unrest, we've seen this God of all comfort come right up beside us whispering to us and sharing with us and to understand His love and His strength. But what we're going to see in this text, He says, we've experienced this so that we could be comforters. There's a purpose in our pain. God doesn't waste our suffering and our affliction. He guides us through it and brings us through it so we can be that shoulder for people to lean up on and crawl on. For us to be that voice of wisdom in the times of struggle when our friends are going through those same type of afflictions and sorrows. Paul says, I've been through these things. But the God of all comfort, let's give Him praise. He's the Father of mercies. Let's look back at the text. Grace to you, God's gracious blessing to you, and peace flow from that grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 3, he says, some of the things we want to look at, we want to see God, His marvelous mercy, His ever-present comfort and strength. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. There's a Trinitarian model we see here. We see the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one, all cooperating together as the Godhead to bring us comfort in our time of our affliction. Because the word implies Holy Spirit here. You see the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon in Luke 2:25, when he sees Jesus, he says, there's the consolation of Israel. That word is the comfort of Israel, the comforter of Israel. This paraclete, this parakaleo, this word to walk alongside, it's another name of God's presence, His Spirit comforting us. The Father right here, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and God of all comfort. We could go through the 2 Corinthians 7. We could go throughout the text and we could see this same theme. Paul is starting out this message of letter, of warning, of instruction, of explanation, and also at the very end, vindication, as he talks about his thorn in the flesh, and he talks about his credentials for ministry and how God had called him as he vindicates his apostleship. As he's starting out a thing and he's going to address a lot of different issues, he starts out by giving praise. This word blessed here means worship, praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. So we see here, firstly, let us see God this year. Last year, I don't know if it was a little vague. We prayed for clear direction, 2020 vision. It was a good theme. I thought it was good. I thought it was somewhat original until I saw a lot of other pastors and churches use the same theme. You ever do that? You ever think you get an original thought just to read a few things or just to go around the corner and say, man, everybody else thought of it before me. As we start out 2021, let us hear the words of Paul to this Corinthian church. Blessed be, praise and worship be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. Everything good, everything we need, everything that's for our good, that helps us in our journey. This the one called to come along beside us, to the Father of all mercies, to give us what we need in our times of affliction, in our times of trouble, in our struggles, in our pain. Paul, in all of his distresses, in all of his hardships, the Father of mercies has given him what he needs, who comforts us in all our afflictions, the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our afflictions. Firstly, let us see God, His marvelous mercy, His ever-present comfort and strength this coming year. Secondly, the word here, it almost sounds like the psalmist, because the theme of the Psalms is let's give Him praise. Let us see Him clearly and let's give Him all praise and worship. We see that also in verse 3. Thirdly, let us meditate often on His comfort and strength. Let us put the afflictions in proper perspective. Let us see our beautiful Savior. Let us see the Father of mercies. Let us see the God of all comfort. Let us see His omniscience, all power. Let us see His omnipresence, the fact that He's all the time with us when we're struggling, when we're facing hardships, when we're going in a year where so many people are worried and scared and they don't know what to expect politically. Your insurance is up in your air. Your politicians are up in the air. Your 401k is up in the air. Your health is up in the air. Your children's future is up in the air. Anything that we've stood on is our foundation. Now we look at it and they're quicksand. They're wobbly. But didn't we pray for God to help us to see clearly last year? Do you just maybe think that God wanted us to see that the things that we hold so near and dear could be pulled out from under us in a second? That's not a God that's trying to be mean to us. That's not a God that's trying to pick on us. That's a God that's saying, I want your glory, the glory that I deserve. I want praise and worship. I want your time and your energy and your thoughts. I'm a jealous God. I love you. I created you. I sustain you. I sealed you with my spirit. I want your worship and praise. Paul says the God of all comfort is stable. The Father of mercies is stable. There's a one who's called to walk alongside you that is sure and strong. So let us give him all praise. And I wanted, like I told you, thirdly, I want us to meditate on his comfort and strength. Why? Because it's him. It's his nature. It's his power. It's his glory. It's his leading. Let us think about that comfort. And that word comfort is, I keep saying strength, is that's really what it's implying. It's a strengthening. It's a walking without fear. It's a boldness. When we face unrest, when we face worry, when we face concern, reflect back on God's goodness and his strength and his power in your life. And then fourthly, and this is where we'll kind of wind it down here, let us comfort others who are facing afflictions this year. Jillian, we face certain things. We don't understand it, but one of the things we do see here, if you'll look at verse 4 with me, it says that the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our afflictions so that, we've seen who? We've seen what? Who God is? God of all comfort, Father of all mercies. We've seen what he does. He comforts. He comes along beside us. The Father of mercies. And now we see why. So that. Who, what, why? These are good questions to ask when you study 2 Corinthians with me. Who, what, why? Why? Why does he comfort us? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Whose comfort is it? It's God's comfort. Who gives it? God does. Why does he give it? So that you will comfort others. Brother Ken asked me early in the week, Miss Allison came in for, we didn't know which day she was coming in, and she was putting the bulletin together, and Brother Ken asked me early in the week, where was I going? And I said, Brother Ken, I'm still wrapping my arm around everything, but this is what I know. I want us to think about, for the new year, being the church out there. Being the church out there. We don't know. We may be called tomorrow. We may not be able to meet for 2 or 3 months out of this year. But that doesn't negate and neglect the fact that we are a church and we are on a mission. And so my thing that kept thinking through my mind is, let's be the church out there. What does that look like? And as I pondered the beginning of this text of 2 Corinthians, it fell off the page that we are comforted in all of our sorrows and griefs and afflictions and distresses so that we can comfort others with the comfort God's given us. God does not waste suffering. There is a purpose in our pain. How are we going to do that this year? Where are we going to do that? First off, we're going to look to God in all of his glory. Secondly, we're going to praise him for all of his majesty and purpose and beauty and wonder. the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. And thirdly, we're going to be obedient to Him and walking with Him and doing the things that He calls us to do after having experienced His work, after experiences His presence alongside us, so that we can comfort others that are in affliction. There's going to be more lives lost this year. There's going to be more children that are sick this year. There's going to be more jobs that are lost this year. There's going to be more political unrest this year. There's going to be more riots this year. There's going to be more friends that are going to turn their back on you this year. There's going to be schools and frustration with school and jobs this year. Name it. Look at it. Whatever you think that's so secure in your life, it's not that secure. You're going to face hardship this year. But as you face it, know that there's a purpose in it. Know that God's presence is with you. Know that He wants to use you to take you through the trial, to take you through the hardship, so that you could come and help someone else. Would you be the church out there this year? Would you be the church that really craves relationships? You don't have to go to sit in someone's living room, but you can pick up a phone. You can write a card. You can encourage. You can support. You can pray for. Paul gives a little bit of an example of this. And as he talks about this, and this is plural, this is first person plural, which some people think this is a sickness that Paul is going through. It could be some of the struggles at Lystra, Derbe, when he was stoned. I don't know. It's kind of vague. We don't know. But look at verse 8. After he tells them that you're comforted so that you can in turn comfort others with the comfort you've experienced, look at what Paul says in verse 8. He says, we don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, of this affliction that we've experienced in Asia. Paul says, I want you to know what we've gone through. He says, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul. He said, some of y'all I've talked to, you've almost felt like giving up. My dad, at the very beginning of this, the Lord just took him on home. I felt God's comfort. I felt God's strength. I felt God's peace. It was almost, I told you, that I was praying and crying out to God, and I was discouraged, and I said, God, why? Nobody would help him. The doctors didn't want to see him. The hospitals wouldn't open. Nobody wanted to work. Everybody was scared to death. Why did this happen? Nobody wanted to take care of him. Nobody was concerned, and that's when in my spirit I heard the Lord God Almighty say to me, I cared about him. I rescued him. I took care of him. He's in the best place he can be right now. Some of us envy that, don't we? But we're here. We've got a God who comforts us. He said, I was burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. He says, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. I think that what he's saying there is we just knew we were going to die. It was all over with. But that was to make us rely not on who? On ourselves. Not rely on ourselves, but on who? On God who raises the dead. What's Paul doing? He's doing what I'm asking you to do, what he's asking the Corinthians to do. He's reflecting back and he's looking clearly at God, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Paul is looking clearly at God. And he says, we didn't want to rely on ourselves. He says, God allowed us to face this sentence of death to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul is also thinking about this Father, this sustainer, this Almighty God that raises the dead. And he says, He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. Guys, that's something we have to hang on to in this new year. God is able. He will deliver us. He has delivered us. But you know what? He's going to ultimately deliver us when He raises us from the dead. We have died in and of ourselves to sin. We are alive in Christ. We are trusting Him. We're walking with Him. We're not relying on ourselves. We're relying on our Savior, the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, the one who is going to ultimately deliver us from this earth as He raises us in the second coming. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. Where's your hope? Is it on the one who's going to ultimately deliver you? The one who has delivered you? The one who has proven faithful? The Father of mercies? The God of all comfort? This paraclete, the comforter that's walking alongside of you, living in and through you? The Savior that sealed you by His Spirit, by atoning death? The 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to see this beautiful, most beautiful picture of the vicarious substitutionary atonement, to where we are reminded that He who knew no sin took on our sin and all of the wrath of God, so that on us we would be bestowed and given the righteousness of Christ. The ones we were being reconciled, now we're called to be ambassadors. We are to be ministers of the new covenant. As I've looked at the themes throughout this 2 Corinthians, I've thought about being the church out there. We see all of these themes. We see them in 2 Corinthians 6 and being the temple of God. We see that we've got treasures in jars of clay, and I want to read this to you. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, if you'll look with me, if you've got your Bible open. Chapter 4, excuse me. Chapter 4, it's actually chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Goes on down here to say, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Here it is. This is where I wanted you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to who? God, and not to us. So we've seen this light shining in the darkness. It's shone into our hearts, giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus. But guess what? Verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. That's what we are, just jars of clay. But in us we have this treasure. Why? That the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So this power, this comfort, this strengthening that's been given to us as this Holy Spirit walks alongside us, we have it living in and through us to give God glory and worship and praise, and to know that the power belongs to God and not to us. So be the church out there this year. Be ministers of the new covenant. Be ambassadors of Christ. Realize that you're the temple of God. Realize that we've got treasures in jars of clay, as Paul is reminding these people. And be on mission. Be faithful. Be true. And remember that as God comforts you, He does it so that you will in turn comfort others with the comfort that we have experienced. A couple of things I wrote down real quick, just in application. And looking at, thinking about the question, what would be different if I believed that God was the God of all comfort? What would be different? What would we not just open up all areas of life to Him? What are you hiding from God? What are you trying to keep and push back down? If you know that He loves you and He cares for you, and He wants to meet you in your brokenness and your hurt, allow Him to go in the dark places of your heart. Allow Him to deal with past sins. Allow Him to comfort you and strengthen you in your worries and your insecurities. Secondly, in knowing that He's the, believing fully that He's the God of all comfort, it makes us realize, and me realize, that God has a purpose in what we go through. Lay aside pride. Receive God's comfort. And what this means is that if we realize this concept that God wants us to be ministers of comfort, it also helps us to see that God oftentimes comforts us by sending someone who has been through pain, who's been through afflictions, to come alongside us, to comfort us. So what that means is you can't say, well, I'm not going to allow Johnny to help me. I want God to help me and comfort me. It just might be that God sends Johnny as His minister of comfort to you. Allow people to come into your lives and walk with you and experience pain and comfort and strengthen you. They've been through this. Jillian, there's others that have lost children. There's others that have buried fathers. We need people to come alongside us that have faced these hardships. You need to be the church that comes alongside of people that have gone through the things that you have gone through. Thirdly, knowing that God and believing that God is the all God of all comfort, we believe that God is He loves us, and He wants us to live without fear. He wants us to take risk. If I believe that I've got a God that's going to take care of me and that's going to comfort me, then be a little bit more bold. One of the guys gave an example about letting your child ride it seems like he talked about letting your child ride a bike. Let him pop a wheelie sometime. He might fall off. Some of y'all decide, just break, it's an imperfect announcement. I say imperfect, I know. Some of y'all say, I don't want my kid to get hurt. You don't want them to stump their toe. You don't want them to scrape that knee. But you know what? If we believe we've got a God of all comfort beside us, run boldly. Be radical. Go without fear. You fall, you hurt, you get embarrassed. It's okay. God's going to take care of us. He's going to lift us up. And lastly, rely fully on God. This is what Paul said. He said, we face the sentence of death just to be reminded it was out of our control. There's people on ventilators right now. Probably feel like it's a sentence of death. God's on the throne. There's nothing they can do but to trust God, to pray for God to heal and comfort. And it says He will deliver. He has and He will. But Paul was looking for the hope in the resurrection and the raising of the dead of Jesus Christ that overcame. Rely fully on God and allow Him to use you to comfort others. God makes us cheerful and useful to others. Let's be bold. Let's be without fear. And let's strengthen others. Let's be this year the church out there to comfort people with the comfort that we have experienced. Let's do it, man. Let's do it. And let's pray together. Father, we love You and we thank You. We thank You that You are so faithful. We thank You that You are present in our grief, in our distress, in our hardship, in our trials, in our persecution. We thank You that You show us that You are the God of all comfort, the Father of all mercies. We're thankful that You are right here present with us, reminding us that You've got a plan and purpose in our pain, in our suffering, in our trials. And Lord, we know that one of those purposes, and not the only purpose that we've seen this morning, is so that we can be a comfort to those who are struggling and hurting around us. Lord, may the word relationship be so important to us this year as people at First Baptist Church Fallville. May we love and serve You by loving and investing and serving others, investing in their lives, writing notes, making phone calls, being a blessing, being helpful to them in their hurt and in their pain. We don't know what's around the corner, God, but we know who's going to walk with us every step of the way through 2021, and we give You praise. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. We give You praise. We give You worship. We celebrate You and Your power and Your comfort and Your strength and Your mercy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?